comes from, shout out to my friend Whitney Pastor, not here tonight, Whitney Go Girl super fan. This was her question for you, because I think that set, I mean, shame on you, ultimate Amy Ray song, right? Like rock, political, loves recovery, ultimate Emily song, control, the melody, little Joni-esque. So the question is, what is the most Amy song you've ever written, Emily, and what's the most Emily song you've ever
I mean, I think probably the most Amy song I've ever written. Well, I would pick an electric guitar song. I don't have that many, but I was, you know, influenced by Amy to get up and play electric guitar. So I'd say the song Trouble from Gus. Rock. Rock elements to it.
What have you, like, I know you learned so much from each other, so it's probably hard to say, oh, this is the one lesson or whatever, but what is the thread that pulls through when you think of your collaboration? Like, you know, what is the thing, if you're like, wow, this was Emily's gift to me, this was Amy's gift to me, what is that thread?
I mean, for me, it's learning how to sing harmony, honestly, because when we started, I was, you know, I had to learn to sing harmony. I was in a church choir, but I wasn't in the chorus, but I wasn't, like, learning really how to write my own harmonies or sing them properly. And I think Emily and I sort of used each other's, well, actually, we used my weaknesses, I should say, to, like, so I would sing, like, a counter melody, and think of it as a melody, and that's where we started doing the singing over each other. Or I would start to play simpler chords because I couldn't play the hard chords. And so we used, that became what we did by necessity. And now it's like something that we do because it works, you know, for us.
So that countability thing I was thinking of is the parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme / canticle.
That's how I learned it.
Really? There you go.
You could split Simon Garfunkel's records from right and left.
Right.
And you could listen to just one or the other. And learn harmony that way. Yeah.
So, you're Paul, you're Artie?
Yeah. Really?
No.
I'm Artie. She's Paul.
He was very hot when he was young, and the guy can sing.
The guy can sing is the writing. Paul's Paul.
Okay. All the Pauls. You're all the Pauls.
You're Paul at heart.
What's the threat from Amy?
I mean, Amy just knows a lot about sound, what sounds good together, what works. Amy's super hard working, like always is thinking of different things that we could try instead of just doing what we land on. And of course, you know, I really want to write rock songs like Amy, but I can't, but I keep trying. I mean, if it had just been me trying to have a solo career, I'd be so bored of myself. I'm not being like self-deprecating. It may sound that way, but what I mean to say is that I'm so glad we have two very, very different musical lives from each other, sensibilities, everything about the way we express each other, because it just keeps it super interesting that we both, you know, the way that it feels for us to write music is that we can't write together. It's very strange. Not that strange.
You tried.
Yeah, I mean, we have written some things together, but it's not like the correct chemical balance that happens.
Well, also, you know, you gotta wonder about like those supposed collaborations. Like John and Paul didn't write together that much.
That's just for band harmony. Yeah. And you get both people singing some songs. That's band harmony. But we decided just because whoever wrote it actually be accurate and then just split them up.
Yeah.
Closer to fine.
There you go. We might get there, we'll see. We gotta stick around.
Very smart on that one. You write it, we'll split it.
Are you saying you're just Ken? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, just
Before we move on from that little set, I have a question for each of you about the songs. One, I love that line, "I wish I were a Trinity." As a Catholic girl, yeah. You are such a philosopher, and you do incorporate a lot of sort of theological language into your work, and how does that work for you? Because that could feel very pretentious, but you always find like the heart in it, the soul in it. Like, how much do you have to kind of mull over the appropriate way to incorporate these heady ideas into your lyrics?
There's two different things, really. Because we talk about like spiritual language, or say something that's that kind of stuff. You know, I grew up in a family. My dad's a theologian, and he taught theology and worship, and we grew up as Methodists, but we were always allowed to ask questions. And so I grew up believing and seeing the Bible as largely a collection of beautiful myths and stories that could be interpreted. And so, to me, they were very poetic, and they held a lot of power. And so I think as a Mason songwriter, it was very, very easy for me to draw from that, because it held so much power. And so, you know, the notion of the Trinity, I'm lapsed in my own sense as well, but I still am a person of my own kind of faith. There's just not, I don't know, whatever it is, but it's something. But the Trinity was just that sort of like the mystery of the three in one. We used to ask my dad, and we were like, you can't have three in one. It's not, you can't be, you know? And then he would just try to draw out the mythology and the mystery of it all. So I found that a great tool for songwriting. People used to think we were a Christian band. Because we, you know, strange fire and trinities and Jesus and everything.
Christianity and feminism, it's pretty strong, but sometimes
they're all like, both sides of the coin too. You have the Christians who are like, they're a Christian band, sort of, and then the other side is like, they're a Christian band, I look funny inside.
That is beautiful life's work, if that was the only thing that you did.
Way to handle it, innuendo.
Speaking of, not exactly for shame, but that leads to a question about shame on you. I was going to ask you about the music and how you layered in all these different elements, because, you know, the obvious thing is like Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl, but then it's all about like connecting to sort of music you heard like in the Latin neighborhood, where that inspired the song, which probably inspired Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl, similar thing. Like, so I'll stop there. Like, tell me about how you layer in like different sounds you hear to make an Amy song.
Well, I mean, it started, yeah, I think about rhythmically, you know, I was thinking about what I overhear when I'm in my town and I'm walking past an area where there's a lot of music and dancing going on the holiday or something. But I'm not, you know, I can't play that kind of music, so it's just my own interpretation. But you know, different things come in, because this song started as a song that I wrote as kind of a joke for my friends, because I was going to be, they had a window washing business, and I was supposed to move that day, and they were supposed to come help me. They got to the house, and I was listening to Pixies records, Do Little all day.
It's in the lyrics,
yeah.
Right?
And I hadn't packed in the box. They were really pissed at me, and I was like, let's just go to the river and hang out for a while. And so it was kind of that, like, they were, you know, shaming me. But then I left that for a while, and then I was thinking about, we were having all these ice stings and raids on the poultry factories in Gainesville, which is one town over from me. So I just started thinking about all the stuff happening with that, and thinking, like, what do you know?
Personal is political, so there you go. Let's hear another song. Let's hear some more music.